Hello there and welcome to New Horizons, the weekly radio program of Blind Citizens Australia. BCA is the national consumer representative voice of Australians who are blind or vision impaired. Our mission is to achieve equity and equality by our empowerment, by promoting positive community attitudes, and by striving for high quality and accessible services which meet our needs.
Ride our dreams down.
Hi, this is Ricky Chaplin with New Horizons. Given the tragic bushfires in South Australia over the last week, I thought it might be timely to revisit a session from the 2011 National Convention. This is on emergencies, and we have a guest speaker in this session from the Country Fire Service in South Australia, and also a very illustrative case example of somebody who actually survived the bushfire back in about 2005. So let's have a listen to this and really think about this as we head into summer and what has been an early start to the bushfire season this year.
One of the biggest things that we've found is people often underestimate their level of risk. So for us here in South Australia, in a South Australian setting, anyone living outside in a metropolitan Adelaide is at risk of bushfire. And you can actually apply that context to any city within Australia. If you think of the main populated areas and move to the outskirts of those areas, you are at some risk of bushfire. And there's different ways that we can learn and find out about that risk, because what it is, people often underestimate it. And I think one of the things I found when talking to survivors of Black Saturday is they'd say, I always thought there would be a fire, but it would only be a small fire. It might only be 2 metres high instead of 100 metres high. So it's about being realistic in how we identify the type of fire that we might have in our area and making sure that we prepare plans appropriately for that. In each state around Australia, we have education programs and we run meetings in different townships, in streets, and in community groups to help people understand if there was a fire in a particular area, what that fire would look like, how it would behave, what streets may be impacted, and what you can do to prepare your home and the types of things that you can do to ensure that you're safe through either leaving early or the types of things that you can do to your home to ensure that it's well prepared. Fires are inevitable. Okay, they are a part of our lives, but they're also survivable. And with all the horror of recent fires, and I understand we've got a speaker here talking about her experiences in Western Australia, although 72 homes were lost, there was no people died. So it's about what we can do to ensure that we survive these natural disasters. We've got choices that we can make about saving ourselves and increasing our home, increasing the chance of our home from surviving as well. And this is all around levels of planning and preparation that we put into place. I'd love to say that the CFS or the Country Fire Service could put a fire truck and crews at every home, but that's just not the case. When we have large scale events, we've got fires across the state, our resources are incredibly stretched. So it's about looking at ways that we can work together as communities, as individuals, with our neighbours, with our friends and our family, and about how we can prepare ourselves and work together to become more resilient so that we can work through and survive these natural disasters. So people are vulnerable in emergencies. We can all be vulnerable at different times in our lives. But we all have the capacity to make choices and plan for and survive these events as well. It's about how we work together and support each other. Now, I'm hoping my audio is working, but I've asked for a CD to be played, so I'm very hoping that that might happen now. If it may do. I've got a lady, it's a lady from Port Lincoln who was involved in the Wangaree fire in 2005. Letitia was a lady who lived in Port Lincoln who worked, she had a very young child at the time, and she just shares her experiences while her neighbour and father-in-law stayed and defended her home while she looked after a small baby.
Your whole body just starts to shake and you just feel this panic welling up. Every fibre was just screaming, you've got to get out of here, the fire's coming. But my husband, every time he spoke to me on the phone, I remember every time I answered the phone, I'd say, do I stay or go? And every time he said, just stay where you are. It was just sheer chaos and panic. It was very hot, it was very dark. My poor little girl was, luckily she was only 6 months old, she didn't remember anything. She just had that horrible panicky few hours where she knew that everyone was upset and she was crying. So I had her in the middle room of the house, which had no external doors or windows. So I had her on the floor in there, and we had a little internal old bathroom as well. So I filled that up with water in the bath and threw all my linen cupboard contents into it and kept bringing them out to Kathy, who would then take them out to the kitchen and give them to the blokes as they would come in and get some air. And then I went round to every single window and put sopping wet towels and sheets and tea towels across every single window, every single door frame. And then I just kept doing that and kept doing that, and my daughter was screaming and I kept running back to her, picking her up, trying to comfort her. And we just kept going, we just kept working. And I remember at one point I actually was sitting on the floor with my daughter trying to rock her, and I looked at the clock and realised it was nearly 2 hours, and I thought, when is this going to end? But you keep going, you do keep going, and eventually after a little while I just realised that it had passed, and sort of Michael and Weddy came back inside, and I just said to him, you saved our lives today. Excuse me, but it was true. It came to me as a revelation, like what had just happened to us was that dramatic.
What do you take out of an experience like that?
How strong you can be, what you can do when you have to. Absolutely, because I remember I stayed up all that night because you couldn't sleep because you were worried embers might still catch the house on fire. I sent everyone else to bed. I said, oh, I'm going to be up. And I patrolled the house every 10 minutes for the rest of the night. And I remember in the wee small hours I was looking out over our very different new landscape, and I just thought, wow, that was the most scariest, horrific, dangerous fire there's been for a long, long time, and I'm still here. You know, I survived it. So I felt really empowered. Yeah. It was a strange thing to feel, but I felt, like, really strong and empowered by that.
Do you reckon staying at home is the way to go?
Yes. Yes, now, because I have experience and I know what you have to do to fight a fire. Mm. So stay at home if you're prepared.
Psychologically as well as physically?
Yeah, if you think that you can't handle it emotionally, you might know all the processes that you have to do and how you might fight the fire, but if you think it's going to be too much emotionally, or you might panic, I think your best plan is to make an evacuation plan.
Yeah. And get out early.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Letitia's story. It's always quite moving whenever I hear her experience of that particular day.
That was taken from the 2011 National Convention held in Adelaide, and it is a very timely reminder for us to have an evacuation plan if we do find ourselves in the path of an oncoming bushfire, or if you do intend to stay at home, to be well prepared. Now onto another completely different topic, audio description. Just in the last couple of weeks, ABC has rolled out the desktop app for iView. That's really exciting because now we can finally access our audio described program content from our desktops or laptops as well as iPhones, which is great. Provides a lot more access to people who don't necessarily have iPhones. So there's a specific way that we need to go about getting ABC iView to work on the desktop with audio description. So I'm going to demonstrate that now. So I've got Internet Explorer up, and I have to stress that you do need to use Internet Explorer for this to work. Unfortunately, Firefox won't work with it. I have tried it. So I've got Internet Explorer 11 up here, and I'm using NVDA. The other program you can use successfully with audio description is JAWS 16 or later. But I've got NVDA for the moment, so I'm just going to do a search in Google for ABC iView programs A to Z.
ABC.
And we'll find that result.
After thread search, main landmark search results heading level 2. List with 6 items, event program listing, ABC and new visited link.
Here we go.
Event program listing, ABC and new, welcome to...
Okay, so I've worked my way down to the B heading from the top of the iView section there. So heading 1 is iView, and if I press heading level 3, I get to navigate through the letters. Okay, so I've just selected a random program here, The Beautiful Lie, and it does have the option to play it with audio description. So I'm focused on the button now, and you'll hear, and I'll just arrow back to the button so you can hear what the instruction is associated with the button.
Button play, button insert, let play episode with audio description, The Beautiful Lie episode 6 title.
You'll hear that it says to use insert Z to play the program. The reason it says that is that you need to turn the virtual cursor off in order to access the controls from within the program. So if you want to access the rewind and fast forward buttons, etc., that's what you need to do. Now for NVDA, which is the program I'm using at the moment, the command is insert space. That insert Z command is for JAWS, if you want to turn the virtual PC cursor off with that. Okay, so I'm just going to activate this button now, and I find it easier to just activate the button and then use that insert space command, as it is with NVDA, to turn off the PC cursor so that I can access those controls. So let's hit the button now.
The following program is audio described. The ABC is conducting a trial of audio description on selected programs on iView for a period of 15 months from April 2015, with funding provided by the Australian government.
There we go. So that's about all I can demonstrate to you, because of course we're going to run into copyright issues. I do find that once I visited the program and I've done that process once, that it doesn't seem to work reliably after that. So hopefully we will get that fixed in future updates. But that's the process anyway for accessing audio description. It does work very well, and I hope you enjoy accessing it on your desktop or laptop if you choose to do it that way. Well, that concludes the edition of New Horizons for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the program. It's certainly given us a lot of food for thought there. So stay tuned as we continue in the coming weeks to explore issues that affect people who are blind or vision impaired. Blind Citizens Australia is funded by the Australian Government through the Department of Social Services and from the Victorian Department of Human Services. We receive financial and in-kind support from Vision Australia, Royal Society for the Blind, Guide Dogs Victoria, and the RPH stations throughout Australia. Generous donations are also received from our members and the broader community. Blind Citizens Australia is located at Ross House, Level 3, 247-251, Flinders Lane, Melbourne, Victoria 3000. Our national office contact number is 03 9654 1400, or toll free 1-800-033-660. You can email us at bca@bca.org.au. Our website address is www.bca.org.au.
Ride our dreams down.